Hey, today I'm talking with Andrew McPeak. He's the co-author of Marching Off the Map, Inspire Students to Navigate a Brand New World. You're going to like this. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Andrew is a millennial speaker and content developer with Growing Leaders. His experiences as both a presenter and curriculum designer have led him to become well-versed in communicating to and about the next generation. In his role as Program Excellence Manager, he works closely with schools, universities, companies, and sports teams on implementing Habitudes as a tool to teach life and leadership skills. This experience enables him to help leaders understand how to craft their message in a way that best connects with today's student. Most notably, Andrew is a co-author alongside Dr. Tim Elmore on their latest book, Marching Off the Map. Marching Off the Map presents information on the world's newest generation of students, Generation Z, and helps educators understand how to best connect with and lead them in the classroom. Say hi to everyone, Andrew.
Hey, Steve. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be with you.
Well, it's awesome to have you here, and I really enjoy the book. And what I'd like to do as we begin here is get you to talk to us a little bit about Growing Leaders, Habitudes, and what you do as Program Excellence Manager.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting title, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So let me just go ahead and ask you to share that with us.
Yeah, so Growing Leaders, I'll start there, has been around since 2003, founded by Tim Elmore, who I got to write this book with. He's kind of a leadership guru, learned a lot of what he knows from John Maxwell, which is a name that probably most of your listeners have heard of. And he founded Growing Leaders with the mission of taking those timeless leadership principles that John Maxwell had been teaching and really shaping them and teaching them to the next generation in a way that they would process them well, understand them well, all of that. And that's what really led to the creation of Habitudes. So Habitudes are images that form leadership habits and attitudes. So we used image-based learning to really help students kind of figure out, what does it mean to lead myself well, and what does it mean to lead others well? And that's a journey that we're trying to help them walk down. So program excellence for us is making sure that Habitudes works. And we really think about that in the lens of content. So is it as good as it can be? And then also in the process. So when a school or a sports team starts using Habitudes, we want to make sure that they know exactly how to get started and that the system of onboarding into that program is seamless and just really fun and easy. So that's really what I spend a lot of my time doing, that, you know, in the content development, the program excellence, customer service kind of thing. And then also I do some speaking for Growing Leaders as well.
Excellent. So let's go ahead and start delving into the content of Marching Off the Map, and tell me what and who is Generation Z?
Yeah, it's a newer term, you know, that a couple people are starting to talk about, a few books are starting to come out, and we really felt like it was important before we talked about what changes we needed to make as we lead them, that we actually talk about who they are. And so that's really why we dove in. So for us, we would say Generation Z are those born after the millennial generation, which is a term your listeners are probably much more familiar with. We've been talking about millennials for a pretty good long time now. Generation Z, being born since 2000, 2001, has grown up in a pretty different world as millennials did. So millennials were born in the early 80s through 2000. And so most of them were born during a time of, in the 90s, when the economy was great, when the whole world was kind of open to them. They had a lot of choice and all those kinds of things. And Generation Z was just born in a very different kind of world. So we'd like to really point it out. If you think about two different terminologies that are used by these two different generations, you can kind of get an idea for how millennials are shifting to Generation Z. So when millennials were around and kind of at the height of millennial culture in the early 2000s, there was a term that got used a lot called YOLO. I don't know if you ever heard that term.
Yes, I have.
So YOLO stood for you only live once. And it was a little bit of the theme of this generation. You know, millennials thought, who knows what could happen, but I'm going to have a good time. And that feeling of just wanting to have a good time and always looking for the party and all those kinds of things really came from growing up in a world where everything was good. And so my job, my leisure time becomes just to enjoy that very good world. When Generation Z, now that they're starting to, come into culture a little bit more, we see a different trend. So the oldest of Generation Z are 16, 17 right now. And what we're seeing is a terminology that's being used called FOMO. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
That one I'm not.
Instead of you only live once, it's fear of missing out. And what's really interesting is just that mental shift from one to the other. What we're seeing is Generation Z is a generation that's just got a lot more fear in the world, feeling like things aren't going that well. Like they watched their older millennial brother or sister go off to college, come home and can't find a job. So they end up moving back in with mom and dad, and just a lot of obstacles that they faced, you know, terrorism and some of those things as well. And so as we're studying and learning about Generation Z, that's the trend we're seeing, from that optimism with millennials to that little bit of pessimism with Generation Z. And for those of your listeners who grew up as a part of Generation X, Generation Z is actually mirroring a lot of Generation X's trends and different things like that. So,
gotcha. So where do you fit?
So I'm 28, almost 29. So I would actually be a millennial born in the late 80s. Definitely right in the middle of that millennial thing. But when Tim wrote his book Generation IY a few years ago, he talked about how even inside of the millennial generation, because of technology, there were some shifts. And so I'm a part of I, but I wouldn't be classified as what we would call IY if you've read that book. So
yes. So. And that's interesting, because I was just curious, because you know, you describe yourself as a millennial speaker, so I was wondering where you fit in there, because it's funny. I was born in 63. All right, so
okay,
and I like to think that I stay on top of things. But what's wild is just the other day I was talking about, you know, how much of my life would be different if, when I was working on papers that I'd put off until Sunday night back when I was in high school in the late 70s, early 80s, if I could have hopped on something called Google back then.
What, give you a little backup. Yeah, it's like calling in the airstrike or something. Yeah,
exactly.
It made things easier. And then we had to have a lot more conversations about plagiarism. So
yes.
Give and take.
As a teacher, I do remember having to go, okay, yeah, I know that this comes from the following, so do over, man. But it just different things. And I do have to say this, by the way. For someone who really loves music, one of the coolest tools for me is, because, you know, you were born in the 80s and my music is of the 80s, all right? And I would have loved to have had the power that I have in a cell phone right now.
Oh, yeah.
In my cell phone with Bluetooth speakers in the yard is way better than speakers stuck in your window and the stereo cranked up so you can hear it while you're working in the yard.
Yes, we're at a whole new level for music lovers, for sure. So
you got that right. So all right, so I'll stop digressing. But thanks for explaining. Thanks for explaining about Generation Z, because it's funny. As we're looking at this, their worlds are so much different, and it's just what they're surrounded by and the choices they have. You know, some possibilities of making. So I appreciate you for outlining that. So
absolutely.
So, Andrew, help me finish this sentence. Marching off the map is about changing.
Yeah, I would say it's about changing, number one, our perspective. One, just seeing that the change in the world, the shifts in the generation, I think a lot of us see that as a threat. And I think what we want is for us to see that as an opportunity. So when we talk about marching off the map, the chief analogy of what we're going for is helping people see that just because you're in new territory doesn't mean there's not a way forward. What it means is that you're going to have to sort of write the map as you go. And so we're changing our perspective, and then we're also changing, because we're changing our perspective, we're changing our approach. So this is not, we're changing what we're saying to students, but we're changing how we say it. And that's been a battle for anyone who has tried to lead the next generation all down through history. But I would say that we live in a time now where change is happening more and faster. And whereas a lot of us who have been leading and teaching for many years, that change feels like a threat. For the youngest generation, that change is very natural. They kind of, they live in those waters and they really love navigating those waters. And so for us, it's just about seeing the world of constant change as an opportunity to really reach this generation where they are and help them be ready for the world that they're entering. So.
Excellent. So, yeah, I really like the layout and structure of Marching Off the Map. And there's a travel guide, which I think is really cool because it helps you digest and, you know, kind of delve back in, rethink about what you just read and, you know, be able to fill in the blanks and just, you know, kind of helps you revisit it and think about what you're reading, which I always like to do. Usually like to have a discussion with somebody. And so that's why nobody in my family will be around me when I'm reading a book like this. But what I want to talk about is talk about the concept between the two books, the idea of where this kind of idea came from and how it became, it appeared into these, it appeared, boy, that's good language, it became the two books.
Yeah, it was actually a part of the vision from the very beginning, because one of the things we decided is we don't want to talk about marching off the map without giving them, giving our readers a little bit of a map, you know, a little bit of direction on how to implement change. Because it's one thing to say, hey, we need to change. It's a whole nother thing to actually be a teacher in a classroom or a principal leading a school. And the implementation of change is just a lot more complicated in that context. So what we wanted to do, because one of our core principles at Growing Leaders is we want to be pracademic. We like to combine words, two words, and to make one word. So we want to be super practical, very helpful, something that people can walk away with. We also want to be academic. You know, we want to make sure that the stuff that we're saying is based on facts, is based on statistics, based on trends and generations. And so this is really at the center of that. You know, you've got a book that's helping you think through ideas and understand new realities and challenge your thinking. But how do we make it practical was a huge question for us. And so what we decided to do was create this travel guide. And for us, what the way it was designed is as when you finish every single chapter, you would go to that respective chapter in the travel guide and kind of just unload your thoughts. So there's going to be some questions that are asked in the book that you'll have space to answer in the travel guide. But really the vision for it is that you walk away and you go, okay, this is my takeaway from that chapter, you know? And so at the end of the book, you don't just have a bunch of ideas in your head. You actually have some step-by-step actions that you're ready to take. That was kind of our vision for it. So we wanted it to be really helpful. So
I like that. That's awesome. And by the way, pracademic, right? That's what you said? Pracademic?
Pracademic. Yeah. It's like habitudes, you know, habits and attitudes. We like squeeze words together as often as we can, because sometimes it's just not a word for what you want to say, you know?
I like that. That's good stuff, because, you know, just create the word that you need.
That's right.
Awesome. Awesome. So who's the target audience? I mean, who do you believe would best benefit from reading Marching Off the Map?
Yeah, I can say anybody who works with the next generation will get something from this resource. But I can also say, as one of the co-authors, that we wrote it with educators in mind, because I really think, you know, obviously parents are dealing with a new generation. You know, coaches are seeing a new generation that they're leading. Business professionals are hiring a new generation, but it's really the educator and the classroom specifically where everything that's happening is all coming together at once. In sort of like a witch's brew in some ways, because you've got basically a new class of students every single year, right? So that's cycling. And if you're in high school and college, you know, you've got a new class of students every different class, right? Because they're moving around. So you're seeing more students than any other kind of leader. You're also the changes going on in the world of technology are affecting your students and also your classroom, and a lot of the mindset shifts that we're seeing in the next generation are actually changing the way that they're learning. So learning styles are changing, The where they go to answer their questions and get information is changing. And for a lot of them, their way of relating to adults is also changing. So all of those things affect the classroom, maybe even more than in any other situation. And so for us, the educator was kind of our prime audience.
Excellent. Thanks. And I think it fits well. I mean, it's you can tell that you were thinking that way and fits well. This is my 30th year in public education state of Georgia, and I can feel that call to me in your book. So awesome.
Good.
Now, before we go any further, I understand that and you wrote this book with Dr. Elmore, right?
Yeah, that's correct. He is obviously he's a master. This is his 33rd book, and this would be my first. So we were two very different people coming into writing this book, but I was honored that he really wanted me to contribute in some significant ways, and so that was really cool.
That's excellent. Now I gotta say that's gonna be a little intimidating, right? Because you like you said, 33 and first.
Yeah, that's right. It is very intimidating, and that's why I appreciate his style. He's not a controlling person. He really would stop every now and again and say, "What do you think? How could we change this?" And I felt like he really welcomed me into the process. That was cool.
Oh, excellent. That's so cool. So we're going to get to your chapter in just a minute, but before we do that, I want to talk about this concept of pioneers and settlers that we get introduced to. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, as we were kind of getting started with that analogy of marching off the map, a natural story was this concept of pioneers and settlers. And you could see them in a lot of different ways. But basically, one of the things that he thought of this idea years ago and has been talking about it for a long time, and it really found its home here in this book. But when it comes to, especially in the world of educators, there's really two mindsets that a teacher or a principal or an administrator can have towards the work that they're doing. They either are pioneer-minded or they're settler-minded. And the pioneer is somebody who is always looking for the best thing and is willing to take risks and try something new in order to achieve, right? So a pioneer is somebody who went into territory before anybody else and tried, you know, built their home on land that had not been tested. They didn't know if they built next to a bear's den or whatever. Whereas the settler is somebody who waits to make sure that the area is safe before they move in. And there's so many teachers and principals who I think they mean super well, but they're really about playing it safe more than getting it right. And so we see a lot of teachers who literally are using the same curriculum with their seventh grade students as they were 20 years ago. And I think that just comes from that settler mindset of like, I'm here, I'm planted here, I've been here for a while. Why would I go farther? Why would I try something new if I'm comfortable here? And it's really what it comes down to is that comfortability area, that comfortability place. And so that's what we're trying to help people think through is, you know, are we going to be pioneer minded or settler minded? Are we going to be people who take risks in the hope for greater reward, greater connection with our students? Or are we just going to say, you know what, I'm comfortable here. I'm comfortable doing it the way I've always done it. And so I'm just going to stay where I am.
Nice. That's, you know, a lot of times that being afraid to take risk, there's many different reasons why. But unfortunately, it doesn't serve the students well. I can see where trying to, you know, get people to think in terms of that pioneer and of course, being a pioneer and the idea that you could be walking right off the map, they fit well.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fear of failure. Like, I don't know what's over there, so I'm afraid of what's over there. And I don't know if you'll remember this, but in one of the opening chapters, we actually show a picture of an ancient map. And yes, it was very common in ancient times when a map was drawn, at the corners of a map, they would draw monsters. You know, a dragon or a serpent or some sort of sea monster or whatever. And you can look it up. It's very common. And what's funny is that wasn't drawn because somebody went out there and found a monster, right?
Right.
That was a symbol that represented unknown territory, and unknown always means dangerous to people who are afraid, right? And I think that's the mindset that so many of us have, is because I don't know what that change is going to bring, I'm a little bit afraid of that change.
That is so right on the money. I love that imagery, and I do remember that map. It's cool because it's also in color, which I think is neat.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, so let's shift from that to let's take a look at a few of the chapters. And one of the chapters that I like a lot is chapter 5, Will You Sail or Surrender? Can you share with the audience what the need to think like sailors is all about?
Yeah, so full disclosure, I have never been sailing in my life. So if you haven't been sailing, that doesn't mean that the analogy won't work for you, because it definitely works for me. One of the things Tim and I talked about as we were getting ready for this book is he had actually been sailing, and he noticed that there's a really key analogy for sailors, because if you're on the water and your boat is primarily being driven by the wind, then what do you do if say you're at point A and you're trying to get to point B, but the wind is pointed in the opposite direction? For those of us who have never sailed before, you'd think, well, I think you probably wait until the wind is going in the right direction, right? But that's really not an option for sailors. There's actually three options. There's three mindsets. And we have the same mindset choices as we're leading the next generation. The first thing you can do, which makes absolutely no sense, is to yell at the wind, to just get upset, right? To get frustrated, to put your sail down and just really, you know, yell a few cuss words at the wind. A great sailor, in fact, even a mediocre sailor, maybe even somebody who hasn't sailed before, would know that's not going to help you very much, right? You're yelling at a force that's beyond your control. I think that happens with a lot of us, you know.
Yeah.
Where we see contrary winds, we see things in culture we don't like, we see things that our students are doing that we don't like, and our immediate reaction is just to get mad instead of, you know, trying to make a change. So.
I just had an image of Captain Jack Sparrow shouting at the.
Yes, that's something Jack would do, but we all know, you know, wouldn't work. So, so that's kind of perspective one. Perspective two is to say, you know what, I was going to try and go from point A to point B, but maybe I'll just let the wind take me where it wants to take me, and we can surrender to the wind. And I see, sadly, a lot of leaders who are doing this, you know. They look at all the shifts in culture and all the changes, and they just go along with them, good or bad, right? You know, this is the mom who dresses like her daughter rather than trying to show her daughter what mature adulthood looks like. You know, this is the teacher who kind of just, you know, jumps on all of the technology bandwagons and kind of lets their kids do whatever they want. It's just, you know, if we surrender to the wind, we lose control of the direction that we're headed. And I think us as adults still have so much to offer the next generation of students. It's just a different world, you know. So we really need to keep point B in mind. We still got to get there. And that's where the third perspective comes in, because a great sailor does something different. They don't do either of those first two things. They actually do this third thing, which is called adjusting the sails. There is a way to adjust your sails where you can get even contrary winds to lead you to where you wanted to go all along. The only consolation is that you may have to take a different path to get there. You know, the wind may require you to take an arc that you weren't expecting to take, go a little bit of a different direction, you know, march into a different territory than you were expecting. But you can still adjust the sails to use that wind, to use the changes that are going on in culture to still get you to where that point is that you know you need to take your students. So that's where the analogy comes in. I think it's just a really helpful thing. It's like all of that makes total sense in sailing. It also makes sense in life, but we don't let it make sense for us a lot of times. So.
Well, it's so right on the money, and just like you said, you don't have to be a sailor to understand what you're talking about there. That's it just makes so much sense. I love it that those analogies just work so well. I got to go back to the yelling at the wind. Yeah, that's going to work. And then just letting yourself float wherever and let the wind take you wherever. Well, yeah, you've run into probably colleagues who've done stuff like that, and that's usually not too helpful either. But making it work for you, good stuff. I love it. So, a chapter that you wrote is chapter 9, called Modern Day Map Makers. You want to talk about chapter 9?
Yeah, that was cool. From the very beginning, you know, we talked about doing this chapter, but Tim kind of pulled me aside as we were getting into the process of writing and said, you know, I would really love for you to write this chapter. And so I actually had complete ownership, which is a really cool opportunity for me. So what we wanted to do was, you know, we set up this analogy of marching off the map. And we told stories about like Alexander the Great and some other great leaders down through history who have done a good job of marching into unknown territory. But what we wanted to do was talk about what does this look like to do this today? And so this chapter, Modern Day Mapmakers, tells the story of seven different people who are currently alive today and working and how they basically saw the contrary winds and what they did to adjust the sails to meet the needs of their students. And so most of the stories are told from an educator's perspective. I think there's one parent story and one coach's story in there as well. But it's what we wanted to do was just paint a clear picture for, one, you can do this because other people are doing it. But two, just show that it's not that complicated. It just requires a little bit of innovation, creativity. And so that was kind of the vision for the chapter, is just to tell those stories.
That's excellent. And one of the things I want to do is point out here is that, like, throughout the book, there's different parts where there's a little box or rectangle that says travel guide. And so, like, the case studies that you're talking about, it says travel guide. It says, which of these case studies could best transform your work? And so I like the way you connect the travel guide's connected in there, so that when you're looking at those case studies, you're not just kind of leaping through them. You hopefully are reflecting on that.
Yeah. If you're somebody who writes on the margins of your book, we basically have given you the opportunity to not have to do that. You can write in the lines of a separate book. So yeah, that's what we try to do, is kind of, after we give you something, we want to prompt you with something. It's actually the same thing that we do whenever Tim or I or one of our speakers teaches at an event, is, you know, we'll talk for about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but then we want to stop and give the audience a chance to talk back and process information and sit in a circle of peers and talk about ideas, because that's really where transformation happens. You know, we can give you all the information in the world in a book, but if you don't use any of it, then it's kind of like you wasted your time reading it in some ways. And so that's what we're hoping, is to, for you to have an opportunity and a really good prompting to apply everything that we're talking about.
Excellent. You know, one of the things that I like is at the end of this chapter, you say, you have a section, you kind of wrap up the chapter with this: what can we learn from these modern day map makers? And you get into these two points. And one of them is, innovation can come in small packages, leave a big impact. And actually I misspoke. You have more than two, but you have three. So, but my point is I love that. Innovation can come in small packages, yet leave a big impact. Can you reflect on that just a little bit?
Yeah. If you dig into some of those stories, for instance, I'm thinking of, there was a teacher who created what he called the Unhappy Meal Project. I don't know if you remember reading that one, but one of the things he did is he already had a class project, and what he did is shifted the project where the ownership of what was happening shifted onto the students. And it was very, very subtle. The entire year, their project was, they had to create from scratch a Happy Meal. And if you take a step back and think about all of the components of a cheeseburger and French fries, that's a lot of work, you know. So, but what he was doing is trying to create ownership over the class and help the class understand both biology and farming and where their food comes from, but also understand our world a little bit more too. And so as I look at things like that, that's somebody who tried something completely new, totally pioneered something new, but really found a way to do it that didn't, I mean, it was a class project, you know, it wasn't something that was out of the ordinary or super hard for him to do. It was really just about, it was just a simple shift that had a big impact, that changed the way his students thought about life, and where their food came from. So.
Excellent. It's so cool. Anytime that we get a chance to, you know, to really think about, you know, to be asked to go back and say, so why does this matter? I think that's important, and that's what you've done here, and that's cool. Enjoy it. So let's talk about another chapter briefly. Chapter 10 gets into it. It starts off by, it says, the subtitle of, well, first of all, the title is Storms on the Horizon, and the subtitle is Adolescents Today Face a Variety of Challenges, but two are paramount to resolve, and one of those is student anxiety. Can you comment on that?
Yeah. So we talk about anxiety in that chapter as a major issue. One of the things, this chapter was actually added a little bit late in the game because, as we started writing the other chapters, one of the things that kept coming up in all the research we were doing, and even we did several focus groups with students, one of the things that kept coming up was this concept of anxiety. Specifically, if you think about, I mentioned FOMO earlier, fear of missing out. That really comes from a social media world. And we talk a lot about social media in this chapter. But, you've got a generation of students who grew up in a world where the economy was down. Mom or dad probably lost their job, where terrorism is on the news at least once a month, if not once a week, there weren't as many options. There starts to be questions about, am I going to even get to go to college? And what was so fascinating is when I sat down with students in focus groups, this was something that they acknowledged. I had seventh graders who were starting to look into scholarships because they were afraid they weren't going to be able to get into college in seventh grade. I had eighth grade girls who, when they get grounded from their phone, they have to give their username and password to a friend so that they don't get behind in their social media, social hierarchy. And what all of this is leading to is this constant pressure that a young person feels as young as seventh grade and maybe younger. Those are the youngest that I talk to, but it's a social pressure to be up on everything that's going on. It's future success. Their parents and teachers even are asking more of students in terms of them being involved in a lot more extracurricular activities and all those things. And what we're seeing is that one of the results is at higher levels of anxiety, depression, and even suicide among this generation than in any generation in the history of the United States. And there are several studies and statistics that back that up. And what we felt like as we were reading that was, this is a factor that's going to affect everything, including the classroom. And so as we're marching into the new territory, we need to be aware of the storms that might come onto the horizon, things that we don't expect. And I think that if you're trying all these new ideas and testing out all these new concepts and doing all this great stuff, it might work really well. But if you got two or three kids in your classroom who are dealing with anxiety and depression, it won't matter what you do. You got to address that first. And that was what we were trying to get at in writing this chapter.
That's excellent. I'm glad that you guys took time to address that, because it is a huge part of this, these kids now. it's part of their world. It's part of their life. And that anxiety is there. And I think we have to be very much aware of it, as well as trying to figure out how to address it and be cognizant of what they're struggling with. But I like that. I like what you talk about there. So after, one of the things that I want to do here is, and I know this is bad, but after reading Marching Off the Map, what would you say is that one major message? Now, this is where it's bad, all right? What's that one major message that you would like the reader to take away?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question, because, I mean, there needs to be a one thing or else the book isn't clear, I think. So for us, I think the message is be open to trying new things. And we throw so many ideas at you, but frankly, I don't even care if you try one of our ideas. I just hope that teachers, educators, administrators, principals walk away from this resource and they think, you know what? I do need to be a little bit more open to trying some new things that I probably was previously like a little worried about trying, And for us, if it does lead, we really believe that this generation needs some really important things like social emotional learning, life skill and leadership development. And so if it does lead to that as well, we do really believe that that's going to be something that really impacts this generation. That's what Habitudes does. But for us, I really think step one is just, are you now open, hopefully open to trying new things in order to reach the next generation?
That's awesome. I love that. Well, if a listener would like to reach out to you, Andrew, what would be the best way?
Yeah, I would love for them to email me. My email is just andrew@growingleaders.com. And I would love to get your email and answer questions or dive a little deeper with you or whatever. That would be awesome.
Excellent. And I'll include a link. I'll include your email address in my show notes so that they'll be able to find it. And
I should mention social media as well. All of my social media accounts, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, are all just Andrew McPeak, @AndrewMcPeak. So.
Excellent. I'll put links to them as well for that social media account. Where can someone get a copy of Marching Off the Map and learn more about growing leaders?
Yeah. So, Marching Off the Map, we actually built a website for it. So it's really easy. Just marchingoffthemap.com. Growing Leaders, you can find us at growingleaders.com. If you're going to buy the book, it is on Amazon, but you're definitely going to want to buy it from us because that travel guide doesn't go out with Amazon. It only goes through us. So definitely buy it from marchingoffthemap.com. If you're interested in Growing Leaders or interested in Habitudes and doing some life skill leadership development with your students, that's all at growingleaders.com. And you can go to growingleaders.com/habitudes, and that'll tell you more about that. So.
Excellent. All right. Well, I got two last questions for you, Andrew. And it goes like this. If you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I think learning all that I've learned through the process of writing this book, my number one piece of advice is never forget the why. Because I see a lot of energy in young teachers who they're going to walk in and their focus is going to be on the student completely. But as the years go on, this is just something that happens naturally. You start to fixate on the how, the how of what you're doing or the how of how you've done it before, and you stop focusing on the who. And that why, that who is the student. And I think the best educators in the world are the ones who never forget that everything they're doing is about developing those students to become better adults, right? We're not training students. We're training future adults. And we have to shift our mindset and just remember that why all the time. And I think that's the thing that separates healthy teachers over the long run from those who kind of become unhealthy.
Excellent. Great, great advice. Last one. Do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
Yeah, I thought of two. One is in high school, Mrs. Scott. She was an English teacher. She was actually a literature teacher. I took AP Lit with her, and I think she was one of the first teachers who would straight up just challenge the students on things that they said in the classroom. So I really appreciated her challenging my thought process, pushing me to think differently and to realize that just because I walked into the classroom with a point of view doesn't mean that meant that it was right, you know, that I needed to be willing and open to have conversations and see things from other people's perspective. And then I also think of a professor I had, Ben Williams was his name, and he and I are actually still really good friends. But my freshman year of college, he was that professor who, you know, every freshman I think goes through the shock of, I'm not sure I know what I believe anymore about anything. And I definitely went through that. And he was that professor, that teacher who I would come to his office and we would, he would say, let's walk. And we would walk around all of our campus, two or three times sometimes. And he would just let me throw any question I had at him. And he didn't always give me an answer, but he was there. And I think I'll never forget the relational component of that and how he was somebody who was committed to walking through life with his students And so those are the two that I remember the most.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Andrew, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. I love the concepts I love the concepts of marching off the map, and I love your thoughts, ideas, and passion for the subject as well. And I greatly appreciate your sharing that with us today.
Yeah, it's my honor, Steve. And thank you so much for what you're doing as well. And I also want to thank your audience. Every time I speak to teachers, I have to stop at the beginning and just remind them we're the guys who get to, stand up on stage and talk for a short time or, sit in our office and research for a book. You guys are the guys who have the actual difficult job of being with students every single day, being there for the ups and downs, my dog ate my homework and my girlfriend broke up with me. And that's the real challenge is being there and leading the next generation and having the relationships. And so I just want to thank you and thank all of your listeners for it. You guys do. You're making our world a better place and you're leading the next generation to be ready for our changing world. And that is an astronomical achievement that I just want to thank you guys for.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. There are a lot of smiles right now. Thank you again, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's an honor. Thanks, Steve.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and hosts. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends. Take care.